Hey, good morning and welcome to the Ready to Wrap here on KYMN 95.1, the one at AM 1080. It's 10 o'clock and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day outside today. Obviously, inside is great too. It's about 68 degrees on the inside, so in case you're wondering. But needless to say, we got plenty of sunshine today, 50s today. It's just going to be absolutely gorgeous. It's just a great day to get out and enjoy the great outdoors. And we introduce our first guest this morning. Is you may have known him, kind of met him once or twice. He is the activities director, John Mahal. John, good morning. How are you?
Hello, good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
You, sir, is it getting old yet? It's been almost 2 years now?
Yeah,
almost.
It's been my second year back being in Northfield. It's been great.
Yeah. So, what do you think? If you can take a minute to just breathe. Which I know is pretty hard in this position, but literally, in the past 2 years, what have you thought about? Like, what have you overcame, or what were some of your biggest challenges, and then what are you most proud of?
I think first and foremost is getting to know people again. We've lived here for quite a while, taught here prior to going off and being doing administrative things as well. But coming back, just getting to know who all the staff are again. Of course, who all the coaches and advisors are, what do they do, what do they like to do. Everybody, every coach, every advisor kind of has a little different way of how they like to do things within their programs, which is great, but I need to learn that. Mm. But then also kind of also help set and continue the expectations that we have as a department. So it's been great to get back in, reconnect, and really see teams from the inside and what the coaches try to do to help prepare our teams compete. And that's what I've been really proud with, the last couple of years especially, is just the amount of high-level competition that is happening across all of our programs. Because again, when the lights turn on, the scoreboard turns on, we want to compete and we want to win. But I'm really also really proud of how the coaches and advisors do their very best to help the student-athletes, yes, in the classroom, but then also be great leaders, be great people for once high school is over or if they go off to college and they get a chance to do it, but just in life, how to be great people. So right. That's been really fun to be able to see and connect with and learn more about. I've been really pleased overall as well in the last couple of years in terms of just trying to check in with each program and what are their needs in terms of as a program and how can we start to refresh around our areas. Yesterday we were out on the baseball field and we were just doing different things out there to, again, try to help clean it up and just, kind of bring it back to, just where you look at it and you're like, wow, that looks like a great looking field. And we're trying to do that at, at Memorial Field, in the gym, around the different spaces there. So it's been fun to be able to put together a plan and then work on trying to execute that plan. So again, when people either here in Northfield or others that visit our community, when they look at things, and they see what we're trying to do, they're like, wow, this looks great, and they're doing a great job.
Well, presentation is everything, right?
Correct.
So they say. Mm-hmm. So I would be amiss if I did not bring this up, but they have talked about a lot of cuts in the educational program, things of that nature. How has that affected you at all? Are you talking about it? Is the administration talking about it? They have to be talking about it. You have to be talking about it. Mm-hmm. You can't put fertilizer on the field, unless you have money. So let's go right to the heart of things. What have you heard? What's going on with the programs as far as from an activities director? Has this affected anything? Is it affecting anything?
Sure.
Will it affect anything?
Great question. And, we were part of the whole process that the school district put forward. We had our own area of number that we needed to get to in terms of either reductions or we're the one area that we're fortunate enough to where we can actually raise a bit of money throughout the year. So we were able to, the committee that we were on, that we worked with, we came up with some things to be able to hopefully help offset some things that we don't have to make as big of reductions as some of the other departments needed to do. So we were able to come to our number that you know, and it's out there for everyone to be able to see. But you know, like we raised the adult ticket price $1. You know, and I think at the family cap, we're hopefully going to be able to put that up just a little bit. Season ticket piece, be able to put that up a little bit. Again, trying to be as reasonable as possible because we know, you know, again, the community support is absolutely amazing, and we don't want that to go away. So we're really cognizant of, okay, yes, we can do these things and also make some reductions where it made sense within the different budget pieces that we have. But what is that fine line to where, okay, we can do this, but let's stay away from this? The nice thing is with this this process, we did not have to make any big adjustments with any of the offerings that we have within the department.
That was my next question is, are there any cuts coming? No,
we don't.
As far as programs-wise?
No, right now that's not what we sent to the school board to be able to determine. So right now we have all of our offerings being able to come back. And, again, we're very pleased and happy with that because, you know, we have a lot of kids that take advantage of a lot of great possibilities and offerings in the district, and we want that to continue.
Well, I've been fighting that out as, you know, we had a la carte, Art a la carte, yeah. Just on. We had They just had a program last night at the school. Give me an update. How was the arts a la carte in the high school?
It was a really busy place last night. It was great. I mean, you just kind of walk through and you just see the engagement of kids. I mean, elementary kids, the middle school kids, the high school kids, the adults that were there. I mean, it's a big event, and I know our art staff take a lot of pride in what they do with that. And, again, they do a fantastic job every year. And that's why I'm happy to be able to be back in this role, because I get a chance to see things in a little bit different lens than when I was a teacher. And, again, they do an amazing job. So
right.
Really fun to be able to see that turnout for them.
So is it all decorated up, the hallways and everything else, and it was just lined with people? Was the turnout pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, both parking lots were packed.
Nice.
And yeah, so, I mean, that's exactly what you want. You want that engagement.
So you had to walk to the own school, your own school, yeah. Or did you find a parking spot? Do you have a sign out front, John? Old for administrator.
There is a spot there, but oftentimes after school, I'm not there, and it gets filled by other people, which is absolutely just fine.
Absolutely fine. Well, we talk about that, and you know, you guys do have an amazing amount of programs, and then you look at the track team's got 60 plus, and the boys got 60 plus, and the girls' golf team are almost 20 participants this year, and the boys have over that. And cross country, my God, you got 90 kids going out for cross country. You've got how many kids with the wrestling team? And the basketball team has, you know, 15 to 20 guys steadily. So you got a lot of participation. You got the debate team, the legal team, they're all state contenders. The speech team's all contenders. They're contending. Yeah. The Knowledge Bowl are contending.
Competed yesterday at their state tournament, yes.
So, I mean, there are a lot of really cool programs outside of just the sports that represent Northfield. And the people that are in the debate team and the people that are in a la carte and things of that nature, that's their passion, right? So
absolutely.
For you guys to offer that, it's got to feel good to be able to hold those programs.
Oh, it's amazing. Because, again, not everybody is a sports person or an athletic person. You know, they might have their skill set may be much more suited to be, again, up on a stage performing or singing or like you mentioned, you know, the mock trial. Those are fantastic offerings for our students that want that. That's where their passion area is. So if we can have that, and especially if we have people that are able to coach and want to advise those areas, hey, let's find a way to make those things happen. You know, I know our robotics team, they competed last week at the U of M, and I think they finished like 24th, I think it is. So they
that's
had
in the
really
state.
Good year.
That's in the state. And there was hundreds of participants in that thing.
So they did a great job. And so, again, to have all those offerings, it's definitely a special thing to have.
I'm actually shocked at how much stuff is offered here at Northfield. I mean, you've got a population of plus 20,000 people, but yet there's a lot of surrounding areas that kind of bring together into the Northfield area. But even then, you think about as a rural community to have this many programs. I think there's programs in the Minneapolis area that don't even have that opportunity to offer to kids.
A lot of times, you know, we're compared with a lot of, you know, like the Minnetonkas, the Eden Prairies, Edinas, those, in terms of just amount or numbers of offerings for our students. So again, that's something that we should be definitely very proud of as a school community and overall community. And again, very happy to be able to do that and try to help oversee all of that.
So with that said, you had to, you know, you have to look at that budget. You got to look at, pay attention to all that stuff. You've got to, you know, do the X's and O's with on the field, but then you got to do X's and O's on the spreadsheet too. Mm-hmm. Is there any upcoming effects that you see or anything like that? Like you said, you have that opportunity to maybe, you know, raise some additional monies here, there, and whatnot. But some of these programs are, I don't know if they're self-funded or not, but there's a lot of booster clubs out there. Like you said, there's a lot of support from this community. It's crazy when you know, you talk about the Hockey Association, for example. They're an outside entity, but they are helping raise money to help put that program together, to help put an arena in the city and things like that. Mm-hmm. Are there other community involvements and things like that that maybe people are unaware of that could help with something like that? Or?
Well, definitely the Northfield Booster Club. They do, again, a great job of helping supplement different things for any of our student-athletes there, or even just programs that might be needing different things there at the high school. You know, not all, but many of our teams, they either have or have started to establish some of their own booster clubs just to help, you know, offset different things, costs that we as a school don't necessarily, I don't want to say provide, but we only have so much as well. And so they've kind of done some of those things, which, again, a lot of them are long-standing booster clubs for those sports. There's definitely many different avenues. You know, we try to, you know, as I was having conversations with a lot of ADs, when we were going through some of our budget reduction pieces, when I talked about, hey, yeah, you know, some of our teams still do have, you know, a supply budget, or hey, we have a uniform budget kind of thing, they were all really surprised because many of them don't anymore. Right. They don't. They've had to reduce in their own programs to the point where they don't have that anymore, and they have to rely much more on outside entities for things to happen. So, again, I'm pleased that we didn't have to do anything there, or we haven't had to at this point. And again, the booster piece, their support, their continuous just, hey, how can we help, has been really impressive.
When it comes to a school administrator or something like that, they obviously, I'm guessing they have kind of the final say in everything. Would that be accurate, the school board itself?
Yeah, so we made recommendations. You know, each of the different teams and committees made recommendations for the budget reductions. And then from there, it goes to the school board. I believe they hear things this upcoming week. And then in a couple weeks, and they've had some, obviously, they've heard, and we've had community meetings. But I think it's at the end of the month when they finally decide, like, okay, here is what will happen for the budget for the upcoming year.
So it's not you don't have to turn every other light out in the gymnasium during the basketball game or something like that.
No.
We're not that far yet, are we?
No. We're, the budget reduction process is no fun for anybody.
Right. I mean, you're used to these things, right? Yep. And then if you have to take
something. But this is a bigger one, and it's painful, and everyone feels it in terms of just like, you know, because everyone's, whether it be elementary, secondary, district, I mean, everything means something to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to potentially reduce it but maybe not have it anymore, that's tough. You know, that's not anything that as a school district we want to be able to do, but we also have to be fiscally responsible. And this is the way that, you know, again, our school board will have the ultimate say in terms of, okay, this plan seems to make sense. or maybe this is an adjustment that we feel needs to happen rather than this. They'll be the ones that decide that based on the work that we've done as different teams.
So from an activity standpoint, activities director, and you bring this to the school board, and obviously you have an argument to lay out, right? And you're like going, well, we really need this, what we've, and these are the cuts we've made, and this is what we've done and to help reduce that. But at the end of the day, the school board does have the voting rate, right? They make that determination as
They're the ones that either give, well, they give the final stamp one way or the other.
Right. Yep. So either we approve of that or we don't approve of it. And if we don't approve, do they give you a chance to go back and do it again? Or is it, this was it, and then if they choose to cut something, you're kind of stuck with it? Or do they say, okay, John, I need you to go back, and I need you to dig in the books, and I need to come up with another $50,000, whatever, whatever that number is?
I guess my short answer is I'll find out.
Well, you've never had to do this before, right?
Not to
in
this
the two
degree.
Years, even.
Okay. Yeah. You know, again, my belief is that, you know, again, all of the different committees, we put in a lot of different time, you know, January, February, I mean, all the way through this. So there's likely a lot of trust from the school board in that we've done the right work. We've had the right conversations, you know, in terms of, hey, we agree, hey, we disagree, how do we make it work? But again, do they have the right to still question and want to know more? Of course. Could they ask questions? Of course. Could they say, hey, again, we agree with this and you're good to go? Or, hey, we don't necessarily, and, you know, we either like to change this or modify this. I mean, again, they have that ability too. So I guess I'll find out more about that myself as we move forward. But hopefully the product that we put in front of everybody, again, as painful it is across the board, it's understood that, again, we're just trying to be fiscally responsible and do what's best for our school community and overall community.
So I know you're a lot to do with the activities director and things of that nature. So there's many other factors that go into running a high school and a junior high and an elementary program and different things like that that either you're privy to or you're not privy to. But is there anything that you see or that you saw or that's being discussed as far as, like, you know, we might have to make a cut here or there in order? I mean, and could there be other educational programs? Could there be, you know, plans for the future to build or rebuild or do something like that that now has to be skirted because of, you know, financial responsibility?
Sure. Again, I guess the short answer for that one, I'm not sure, because I, you know, Michael O'Keefe and myself and our committee, we were kind of overseeing the activities. And then, you know, the elementary, the secondary, our special education, you know, everyone kind of had their, so I had a higher level, like, conversation or being able to listen and hear what was going on. But in terms of, like, the in-depth, hey, the what ifs or this, like, I guess I don't have that insight to know, like, hey, if, you know, we were really more in trouble, or the flip side, hey, things are really good, we don't have to do ABC. I guess I don't have that information.
Well, and so your focus is activities, so you had to do your due diligence. You went back through, you looked at your budgets, you looked at stuff, you saw where you could, like you said, maybe you could make some slight cuts here and there, but nothing so over the top that, you still get to offer these programs. I think that's huge.
Yes, and I think that's what we're proud about, our work as a committee. What we're able to do is we're going to be able to maintain what we offer so that any and all of our students get to continue to do things at, again, reasonable you know, prices for, to be involved with things, and again, continue to compete and have fun and do great things for the, you know, our Northfield community.
You know, it's a part of your job is to do exactly that. There are, you know, spreadsheets everywhere, and you have to deal with that. But as an activities director, also some of that is, you know, the watching these student athletes and they participate and they achieve and you watch them grow and mm-hmm. you watch them, you know, just develop as a, not only just as a athlete, but as a, you know, just a human being in the whole. So that's got to be fun. But, you know, the grind of all that other work, when you took on this position and you started working your way up to this position, I mean, is there anything that you saw that you're like going, wow, I mean, I didn't see that coming? You know, anything out of the ordinary, you're like going, whoa, this is a part of my job?
Well, not necessarily. It's all been fairly like, okay, I thought, and here's why I say that. Having the opportunity to be an assistant principal and a principal prior to being in this position has helped me feel like, okay, I definitely don't know everything.
Right.
I continue to try to learn and grow myself. But at least I've had some experiences in the past that have helped me for where I'm at now to be able to either handle or understand either the situation or the conversations or what needs to happen. So thankfully I have that to draw from so that when things come up, okay, how do we, you know, how do we handle or work with the situation that's at right. hand?
So is it Superintendent John Mahalan in the future? What are we doing? Where's John at? Or is it too soon? Is it just 2 years in? Is it too soon to ask what's next for John? Or how do you what do you want to see in the next year or so with regards to Northfield activities?
Would love to be able to see things to just continue and grow, and you know, really working on a plan for our facilities, activity facilities, to be able to. Again, come back to, you know, just kind of freshen things up because they haven't had that ability to do that in the past. So I would love to be able to see that. And we're starting to carry that out. And I'm really excited, too, because that's the that's been the weird thing about this winter so far is we've had our budget reduction meetings, but then we have to change our caps even same day at times. And we're talking about the Reimagine project, and what does that look like for the new high school, or you know, the Reimagine high school, along with then the expanded gym, and how does that all look? So, it's been fun to be able to think about, to listen, to plan for what's to potentially come down the line, even though it's not going to happen next year. You know, that newness and that experience that we're trying to create for our own home fans, but then when people come to visit and play or compete in Northfield has been really fun and a great challenge as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't, even as an opposing participant, athlete, whatever, coming into a, you want to, when you go into somebody else's field, you know, you want to look around and go, oh, this is pretty cool. You know,
absolutely.
You don't want to go, oh, my God, not this dump.
And I think I take a lot of pride in that, you know, in terms of working with the different various coaches to, okay, where are we at and where can we take it next? What's that next level up? Again, across our facilities, you know, there's only so much that we can do.
Right.
But what is that? And once we get to that, okay, what's next? You know, how do we keep just improving what we do, what we offer, so that, again, so that our student athletes, when they're here, they feel really supported. And like, when they look around, they're like, okay, I was a part of this, and I'm really proud to be a Northfield Raider. And then, again, when people do come and they're here, they're like, geez, again, look at this place. They take care of it. It looks great. You know, they're doing hopefully the quote-unquote right things.
Right.
You know, for the student experience.
So today, what did you say? We got softball and baseball going on today?
Yeah, today we've got a doubleheader. So we host softball at noon. We host Faribault at noon. So it's a great day to come out and watch some softball. Baseball, they head to Faribault for a doubleheader. Trying to think.
What's on John's calendar? Do you got to go to both of them, or
I'll check in.
Are you expected seriously to show up to every single activity, or is that just too much? There's no way it can happen. I mean, there's some days there's 3-4 events going on. So
the beautiful thing is between myself and our high school administrative staff, we have a rotation of things where we try to get to think. Oh, there's a swing dance tonight at the ballroom. That's what it is.
There you go.
So do I try to get to everything, at least to be able to check? Absolutely.
You're going to check out the swing dance, aren't you? You're going, You're going to the ballroom, aren't you? Well, huh? I can see that six foot frame just
walking. Might have to tie up the shoes one more time. Yeah, so it'll be fun. It's going to be a great day. And then, again, you know, next week, I was looking at the schedule and it's amazingly busy.
So we had a little bit of, you know, some tennis got pushed back, some golf got pushed back, baseball got pushed back, a little bit of, you know, we're running about a week and a half late right now. So now it's just from here to May, and that's only sprint. 6 weeks.
I know it.
It's 6 weeks.
Yep, it goes quick.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to go fast. Some of them do go into June, depending on tournaments.
Correct.
But is there any talk about moving them up at all, you know, and maybe get more games in, you know, in the springtime or something, get the kids or...
Unfortunately, with our location, you know, being in the north here in the winter and just the unpredictable spring, you know, right now, no. There hasn't been any conversation with that. We're very fortunate, again, to have a nice partnership with the Dundas Dome so that we can utilize that for a lot of our practices and... You know, if need be, you know, like softball could go in there and play, you know, some games and whatnot. But we just have to figure it out and sometimes tough it out.
Right. Well, and again, you talk about, you know, financial responsibility and stuff like that. Yeah, you could go down to Rochester and take the tennis team down there and do all that, but that costs money. So, and you got to have availability.
Sure. Because
They're down there practicing too and different things like that. So everything within reason, right? I mean, that's what you got to do. You take what you get, you do the best you can, and you hope for the best. So.
Absolutely.
Well, John, I appreciate you. I kept you longer than I anticipated, which is fine because we haven't caught up in a long time. And I always appreciate you coming in and sharing some of your insights just from my overall, you know, opportunity to work around the Raiders. And I love the attitude of the coaches. I love the attitudes of the players. I love just the way that there's so many activities for these students. And it just boggles my mind that there's so many cool things going on in the Northfield. And I don't know if people even know about it, but I mean, there's so many activities keeping the kids off the streets and, you know,
yeah, we're very fortunate to have a lot of great adults working with kids and trying to do their best with kids. And, again, I was thinking about that on the way in, just the community support that we do have, you know, across the board with everything that we do. It's truly amazing. So, again, thank you to anybody that may be listening that has had a part in that. And if you're interested in anything like that, again, we would love to find ways to connect you to make that happen because we feel like we offer some great things and you know, we're just proud to do what we do every day.
Amen.
As a Northfield Raider.
We're glad that you're here, John. We appreciate your time and thank you so much. And we'll get together again here in a few weeks.
Yes, sir.
And just see how the whole spring season wraps up.
You got it.
John Mahal, the Activities Director for the Northfield Raiders Activities. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're either going to talk a little bit of golf or we might be singing in the choir. Yeah, there's so much cool stuff coming up with Meet the Raider here this morning. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on AM 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN. We'll be right back.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com. And see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders. I want to take a moment today to reintroduce you to our Bluff View neighborhood. We are excited to let you know that in 2025, we are in full swing. We've completed the first 10 homes and it's turning into a great neighborhood within our community. We presently have 4 homes for sale that are in various stages of completion, including our model home that is available Friday through Sunday each week. The best home sites always sell first, so come today. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
95.1, the one station where you won't hear the same songs hour after hour.
D. Do you want to save money and improve your home's energy efficiency? You can with the City of Northfield's Energy Efficiency Rebate Program. The city is matching 50% of XL Energy's rebate, up to $2,500 for qualifying home upgrades. Eligible projects include energy-efficient furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, insulation, heat pumps, and air sealing. Apply today at northfieldmn.gov/rebates. That's northfieldmn.gov/rebates to save money and improve your energy efficiency.
You probably know that Medicare provides health insurance for millions of older and disabled people. But you might not know that Medicare does not cover everything, including most long-term care. Medicare can be complicated, but Minnesota's Senior Linkage Line can help. Visit mn.gov/senior-linkage-line to learn more. That's mn.gov/senior-linkage-line. Or give us a call at 800-333-2433.
Your business is a vital piece of the Northfield area economy, and the economic health of the business community is vital to your business. Stay connected by becoming a member of the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you forge relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and make strong connections with other Northfield business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our economy, and they want to help you stay connected. Go to northfieldchamber.com, sign up, and take your business to the next level.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Rock, blues, reggae, alt country, Americana, jazz, pop, it's all good on 95.1, The One.
The One.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1, The One, and AM 1080. 26 minutes in front of 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It's already the 12th day of April. We got Mel Miller coming up in just a second to talk about a little bit about the girls' golf team, who got underway on Thursday. And they competed a little bit there and kind of kicked off the season, if you will. They had a little postponement, so they delayed it, which was supposed to be last week, and now it's this week, and it was Thursday. And a lot of that going on as far as the overall first couple of weeks of the year, you know, had to deal with cancellations and rescheduling due to field conditions. That the weather is one thing, you know, being in the 40s and whatever, they can still compete in that. But the actual field conditions, the late snow again, and different things like that. But this spring actually starting out a little bit better than last spring as far as moisture is concerned, because last year, as you remember, I mean, we got the late snowfall again, and then we got just a ton of rain, and that really pushed things back. So they're kind of getting used to that. So the boys' tennis team doubleheader versus Waseca was postponed until a later date. That is going to be confirmed later. And then the girls' golf team had their first match postponed, but then they made it up against Rochester on Thursday, and they were supposed to have their first meet, like on Monday, but they were able to golf against Rochester on Thursday, and they beat the Panthers 360 to 477 in the rescheduled meet. Top scorers for the Raiders were Karina Johnson with a 79, Annika Johnson with an 85, and Mill Miller will have more of those results coming up for you in just a couple of minutes. And So we look at all that, and the boys' tennis team, they're going to play Waseca, but those matches, again, have been postponed. The girls' golf team, obviously, going to perform again next week. And then Tuesday, it was a cancellation due to weather for, it looks like the boys golf team as well, and they'll play Rochester coming up on Tuesday. And then again, the boys tennis team will take on, they were able to take on Red Wing on Tuesday for their first match of the year. And they started out with a strong 5-2 victory over the Wingers. They placed again on Wednesday against New Prague in a non-conference meet, pulling off another 5-2 win versus the Trojans of New Prague. And what else is going up? Coming off an impressive state run last year, boys baseball team had their first game of the year after the first two were postponed, playing Mankato East Tuesday. Raiders lost that one, but it was in a walk-off. Final score was 8-7. Dylan Morris had three runs on that night, and they played against Albert Lea on Thursday, shutting out the Tigers 7-0. Wade Gilbertson, two runs for the Raiders in that victory. Softball team played Mankato East on Tuesday. It was their second game of the year. They fell 11-1 as the state-ranked Cougars took down the Raiders. Grace Mostad had the Raiders one run of the night. They played Albert Lea on Thursday. They won that one 15-2 in their third game of the year. They're now 2-1 on the season, winning their home opener 10-1 against a top-contending conference champion last year. Boys, girls, and track team, what can you say about these guys and girls? Just an outstanding event going on. They again took on, they had a race, if you will, the other day as well. And Janet Smith was gracious enough to present us with some information. And Friday, they took on New Prague at the Invitational. Girls team had a pretty good showing. They were 14 of 18 events. And both the track and field, as the team of the Raiders placed second, was 66 points behind the defending Big Nine champs, Mankato East, and in front of New Prague, who also had a strong team. Total athletes earned 56 season best marks and 38 lifetime best performances throughout that competition. And that is just, like I said, the second opportunity for that track team to get out. And, of course, the boys doing a fine job as winning the 4x8, the 100-meter, 400, 800, and 4x4. Girls winning the 1600, 4x1, 300-meter, 800, 2-mile, and the 4x4. That's kind of a look at some of our sports here this morning on the Raiders scoreboard. 22 minutes in front of 11 o'clock currently over. Looks like, well, mostly sunny, but a few overcast clouds. You know, is your glass half full? Is your sky half full or is the sky half blue? You know what I mean? Depends on how you look at it. 52 currently in the Cannon Valley. Let's check in. It's time to talk with, I believe, Mel Miller. Mel with the girls' golf team. Again, kicking things off here on Thursday. Let's check in and see what Mel has to say on this week's Raider Wrap.
Welcome to the program. He is the head coach of the girls' golf team, and it's Mel Miller. And Mel, whole new season, all kinds of new stuff. You don't have Emerson Garley out there anymore. What you got going on with this golf team this year?
Well, we still return. We have four girls that played in the state tournament last year. Karina and Annika Johnson, Danica Sorum, and Annalisa Larson. All four of them were participated in the state tournament last year, so they have a lot of experience. We've got some young kids coming up. We've got an eighth grader, Annika Brisky, who played a couple of varsity matches last year, and 10th grader, Kennedy Bauerfein, and both of those are going to be good. And then we got a ninth grader, Cece Vandewalker. So between those seven girls, they're going to be playing most of our varsity meets. There's a couple other girls we're going to try to feed in there where we can. We have a couple tournaments that I'm going to take some younger kids or other kids and have them play. We got good numbers this year. We've got 18 girls out, which that's the biggest we've had in the last 3 years, which is good. A lot of them are really new, and we're spending a lot of time teaching them how to play. You know, a lot of little steps is what we're starting with right now.
Are we anticipating a rotational situation there? Are people competing? Do you think you have your starters, if you will? There's a varsity, junior varsity, right? And then is there like another, you know, sophomore B team type of opportunity?
Well, we have the varsity kids. I think pretty much five of them are probably set in stone. We got, besides the four I mentioned before, Anna Jordan, who was on the varsity 2 years ago and couldn't play last year because of a bad back, is back. And she'll be planned varsity. We'll have probably 8 girls competing for the 6 spots, and actually 3 of them will be competing for 1 spot is what's going to – it'll come down to that. And then the other girls will be playing JV. When we host our Willinger's invite on May 7th, we're actually going to put 2 teams in there. We'll put a JV team, and that'll count as a varsity match for all those girls. So, and some of those girls, a couple of the other girls will be a senior, Olivia Rasmussen, who's out for the first time and got a nice swing. Somebody who probably should have been playing the last couple of years. She played hockey the last 4 years.
I was going to say she's got a heck of a slap shot, just like Emerson used to have. So,
yep.
Why isn't she golfing?
Yeah, well, she's golfing now.
Awesome.
She's still pretty green. She's learning, so she wants to learn for the future. She wants to be able to play with her family a lot, and that's why she came out.
So she's never golfed before?
She's golfed occasionally with her parents, but she never played competitively.
Wow.
You can tell she's played, and she just needs some refinement. We need to work on keeping the ball in play, keeping it out of trouble, work on putting. We spent probably 45 minutes today on putting. So they got a chance to figure out how hard they can hit a ball on the green and try to get it as close as they can without, so they don't 3 putt.
Right.
A couple other girls. We have Audrey Larris. She's third year player, so she's going to play a lot of JV again this year. And Lily Holman, who's actually a junior, but she's coming out for the first time. She's played softball up till this year, but she was on the dance team, and she was friends with a couple of the girls on a dance team that play golf, and so she decided to come out and play golf. And she's new, so she's learning. And then we have some other kids that are developmental. That's what they want to be. They just want to learn how to play the game.
Right.
Marbella Schoenbauer, Maya Valentin, Mari Cruz, Ava Hess, Ava Petapis. I think I got them all in there. Hopefully I didn't miss any. But,
right.
So they're learning. You know, they got a chance to play. Most of them played 9 holes yesterday on the JV team because I put, we needed 6, but I actually put 8 girls on the JV team yesterday. So a couple extra got to play.
Nice. And obviously it's early in the season, so that's okay, right?
Yeah. I mean, their scores didn't count towards the JV score, but they got to play 9 holes. That was the key thing. And then we'll do that again a week from Monday when we're home again. Our last meet in Northfield is on the 21st. So we'll do the same thing. We'll send out, make sure everybody gets a chance to play.
You had a
that's important.
You had one scheduled for the 7th down in Rochester. Was that just course condition weather wise, or was that
something
else?
It actually was here. We were supposed to play here in Northfield.
Okay.
And it was the forecast was 40 degrees and 20 mile an hour winds. So we actually postponed it until yesterday.
Okay.
So we played Rochester Century yesterday. We did pretty well there yesterday. We had Karina Johnson won the event. She shot 79 yesterday, so that's pretty good first time out. Her sister, Annika Johnson, shot an 85. And then we had Annalisa Larson, who shot a personal record for her, 94. And then our 4 score was Annika Brusky with a 102. So we shot 360 as a team, and Century is really young. They were freshmen, 3 sophomores, a senior, and a junior, and they shot 477 as a team. So they're learning. They got a brand new coach. They got a lot of young kids. So it'll be 2 or 3 years, and they'll probably be a force again. But yesterday it was our day to play a little better. When we could play better than we did yesterday. Now Monday we go to Albert Lea, and we have a dual meet with Albert Lea. I saw this week they played on Tuesday in Red Wing, and I think they shot 415. So, and we do have Danica Soren back, so we'll have our full lineup on Monday. So we'll see how we do that day. So but it'll give a chance, another chance for the girls to play.
Well, you opened up in Northfield, right? And yeah. So now you go down to Albert Lea. So what's the conditions down there? What's that golf course like? We know that the Northfield Country Club, that's a pretty nice course. Got some good yardage on it. What's Albert Lea bring to the table?
It's a public golf course, so it's not as nice as the Northfield Country Club. I'm not sure about the conditions, because a lot of times when we go down to Albert Lea, we play at Wedgwood Cove. But this time we're playing at Greenlee. It's a little different golf course. It's actually more protected from the wind because it's got a lot of older trees. So that may come into play, where Wedgwood Cove is wide open. I mean, there's hardly any trees out there on the entire course.
Right.
So, but it should be fine. It'll be a good test for us, and we're just trying to practice as much as we can, and with the weather, fighting the weather, and just get ready for – you know, the following week we host Red Wing and John Marshall, and then the Thursday of that week we go to Rochester for the April full conference meet. So then we'll get to see where everybody's at that point.
Right. I mean, you guys were pretty impressive in the Big Nine last year, and do you anticipate a tough battle with any of the schools here this year?
Yeah, Owatonna's good. They have the best player this year in the conference. Carmen Jurley is the best player. She actually won the Class 3A title last year in the girls. And she's a junior coming back, so she leads them. I saw she opened up with a 75 on Tuesday. And then they've got two or three other girls who can compete. So it's going to come down between Owatonna and us. Probably Austin, because they're young, but they've got some really good players. And he doesn't have very many numbers. He only has 8 girls out for golf, so he's struggling that way. But they're going to be pretty decent.
Right. Well,
we're in the section. I see Farmington's probably competing with us and Owatonna.
And you did say that you take the top 4. Is that correct?
Well, they take the low 4 scores. In the conference, it's whoever wins it. You play everybody 3 times. You play them in either a dual, a tri, or a quad, and then you play them in the April full conference meet and the May full conference meet. And for every team you finish in front of, you get 1 point. So the most you can get is 33. Okay. And that's what we had last year. We were 33-0.
You were?
So
I know.
It's, yeah. Yeah, so we won the conference 4 years in a row. So it'll be a little bit more of a struggle this year not having Emerson, because we had that anchor. You know, we kind of knew she was going to compete with everybody, and you know, this year we don't. But I know Karina and Annika Johnson, they want to step up and take that spot. So and they're going to do good. They're going to do just fine.
So with those two, I saw you last spring over at the Country Club after you won the conference title, and everyone was full of smiles and everything before they went to state. And did they put in a lot of time over last summer and try to develop their game a little bit more? And did they come into the season this year with some improvement and impressed you at all?
Oh, yeah. Both of them have played a lot last summer. They've been doing that probably the last 4 summers in a row. They play a lot of tournaments, a lot of Minnesota Golf Association tournaments, a lot of USGA tournaments, and they're moving up in class. So they're getting, they kind of have you can either play with your age group, or they move you up based upon your scores, where now you're competing against the better players in the state. And that's where they're at. So they're competing with the Carmen Jurleys of the world and the girls out of Maple Grove and Minnetonka that always finish high up in the state tournaments. And so that's who they're competing with now. But they work at it, because during spring break, they went down to Texas with their parents and they played 5 rounds of golf down there.
Oh, that just must
and
have sucked.
They shot some pretty good scores. So they're ready.
Did they give you the scores? Did they tell you what they shot? Did they break
par? Oh, yeah, they texted me their scores every single night. So nice. I saw their scores. It was you know, it's about where they should be this time of year. So it was pretty good considering they really hadn't been out. But they hit balls during the winter. They take less private lessons from the pro over at Troy Byrne in Wisconsin. And then Annalisa Larson spent a lot of time this winter because you can see big improvement in her game. Yesterday she didn't play as well as she can, but Wednesday during practice she shot a 40 on the back nine at Northfield. So and it was her best nine holes ever.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say
she can play.
I'll shoot a 40 in the first five usually, but you know that's just me. Northfield's a tough course. It is, and it's. I think that is it better to be playing and practicing on a tough? How often do you practice at Northfield? Do you go out to Willinger some? Do you? How do you share that for practice?
Well, usually on Mondays we practice at Northfield, and then Wednesday and Thursday we can get on the course. Once May rolls around, it's harder to get on Wednesdays because of ladies' days. But we sometimes it depends on the weather. If it's not real warm, we can sneak out. Tuesdays we go to Willinger's and we play there. And then on Fridays we usually go to the driving range and we hit balls, and then we come back to the golf club and we putt, chip and putt for about 40 minutes. So just end out the week, you know. But you know, our season is so condensed, and we end up playing some Fridays. We play some Wednesdays. So, and in between the JV tournaments that we have scheduled, you know, it's we'll have girls playing 3 days a week here in another week. You know, some of the JV kids will play three times, or some of the varsity kids will play three times. So it's we have a lot going on starting after the 21st of April. Trying to fit the season in, and then you're hoping that you don't get a rain out or a storm out, and then you got to reschedule something, which gets to be difficult at times.
Right, and then you start getting to the end of April there a little bit, and you've got, you know, I think April 24th, you're in there, you got multiple schools going on, and you play, I think, early in the morning, and then you turn around and play again in the afternoon. And
no, that's an 18-hole day. We play at North we play in Rochester that day. And then Friday we go to New Prague. But I think on that Friday I'm probably taking some younger kids to that tournament. And then the following week we're at the Lakeville North tournament on the 28th. The 29th we go to Owatonna for a try. And then the next week we go to Winona, and then we host our own invitational at Willinger's. So there's a lot going on, and we have 14 teams in our invitational. So we'll have a lot of good schools coming to play.
How much time at a practice are you on the driving range, or do you just get them out in the course and get them out golfing, or do you try to focus and spend 45 minutes an hour, maybe swinging some clubs on the practice range?
Well, normally once we can get on the course, we'll usually go play, try to play as many holes, get nine holes in, especially the top 12 girls need to play. And then the other girls, we're getting them on the range, and they're hitting balls, and they're chipping, and they're putting. Usually Fridays is our day that we can actually spend on the range and work on the game. But the rest of the days, we're either competing or we're playing holes at either Willinger's or Northfield Golf Club.
So are you following them around in a golf cart with a hot dog in your hand and hanging out watching them, or how do you go about coaching when they're out in the course?
Well, I kind of get to each group and help them whatever they need help with, and they all have my cell phone number, so they'll text me and say, I need you on this hole.
Oh, nice.
You know, I have a problem here. So then I go find them and then help them whatever they need. And then, you know, my assistant coaches, they help out a lot too, because both Danielle Crace and Sarah Walter, they spend a lot of time with the JV kids and the developmental kids. So they're helping them. Well, I'm focusing mainly with the varsity kids. So, you know, at this point, the varsity kids, we're not working on swing planes. Maybe we're correcting a couple things. A lot of course management, you know, hitting the ball to the right spot. And if you didn't hit it in the right spot, okay, well, how can I recover and not get a big number? That's the goal.
Right. Well, you know what? One of these days we're going to have to get those assistants on the program. Maybe talk a little bit about them and just see how they're doing with the JV as well. We'll have to maybe get them on the air here one of these days and see if we can just see where we're at as far as up and coming as well. So that'd be kind of fun to get to know some of them as well.
Okay.
Mel, I appreciate your time as always. We wish you the best of luck this season. We're not done. Like I said, let's get you back on here in a couple of weeks, maybe get some of the assistants on here. Let's just talk about our golf team and let's help support the Raider golf team. So congratulations on an outstanding year, and last 4 years actually, but a really nice year last year, and wish you the best of luck this year going forward, Mel.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mel Miller, the head coach of the girls golf team, joining us this morning here on KYMN. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll come back. We went a little long with John Mahal. There was so much information to talk about with the recent cuts and budgets and budget discussions and things of that nature, not to mention with all the activities that are going on. So if you want to find out a little bit more about what was happening with that, you can certainly go to kymnradio.net. Go to programs, select the Raider Wrap, and then choose today's date. We'll have the podcast up there for you coming up shortly after the program here this morning. So again, an opportunity to tune in to that and also catch anything that Mel Miller may have had to say. You can download those programs as well and just download them, and you can keep them in your own personal archives if you like. So with that said, let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk choir. Meet the Raider coming up on KYMN.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
Finding the right home can feel like solving a puzzle. That's what Dean discovered when searching for a house that fit his vision and budget. He found a fixer-upper in the perfect location, but it needed work. That's when his lender from Merchants Bank stepped in. Equipped with a tool belt of loan programs, they worked to put all the pieces in place, helping Dean to turn that house into his dream home. Whatever your puzzle, Merchants Bank has the right fit for you. Merchants Bank, building dreams together since 1875. Equal housing lender, subject to approval.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. You tend to hear a lot about our developments at Johnson Ryland, but you might be curious to know that a good one-third of our builds each year are off-site. We can build on your lot or help you find the ideal acreage lot, lakeshore, riverfront, or golf course location for your ideal next home. We start with site planning and then go to design and guide you through the whole process. If you can dream it, we can build it. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
The City of Northfield's Native Plant Rebate Program offers homeowners a rebate up to $75 for purchasing native plants. Native plants help reduce water runoff, improve water quality, and provide essential habitats for pollinators and wildlife. Receiving your rebate is easy. Learn more and apply today at northfieldmn.gov/rebates.
For more than 10 years, the Northfield Area Family YMCA has been proud to serve the greater Northfield community. No matter your age or experience level, the Y is a place where everybody belongs. The Northfield YMCA offers Child Watch, 24-hour access for qualified members, a swimming pool for lessons and lap swimming, group fitness classes, and so much more. Stop in to ask about membership options at 1501 Honey Locust Drive in Northfield. A wonderful community is waiting for you at the Northfield Area Family YMCA.
When you're driving, pay attention to this, not that. Acknowledge this. Ignore that. Distracted driving is dangerous driving. Drive smart.
A message from the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Extra enforcement now on Minnesota roads.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. We're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Hey, what's happening? It's about 11 o'clock, 11:01 actually. So what does that mean? Well, it means we're running a little bit behind, but that's okay because we've had a lot of fun interviews here today. Mel Miller with the girls' golf team just got done talking to us a little bit about this year's season and the upcoming opportunities. Looks like they're going to have an outstanding season yet again this year. Not to mention John Mahal, Activities Director, on this morning, and we had an extended version with John on, talking about everything from not only athletics to activities to budgets to cuts to expansions to fundraising to you name it. So, again, go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, go to Raider Rap, and then select today's date, and you can listen back to all the interviews here this morning. Speaking of interviews, we are going behind the curtain to talk to Meet the Raider. This week, Grant Selko interviews one of the choir participants, one of the many activities that the Northfield High School gives to their students. Let's see what Grant Selko has to say and what the interview has to say with Mr. Eric Radke. Grant, what's happening?
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and today in the studio we have big Casa Grande singer Eric Radke. Thanks for coming in, Eric.
Anytime.
To start off, when did you first start getting into music?
Got into music when my mom signed me up for choir when I was a kid. And then she made me sign up for orchestra, too, because my sister's in orchestra. I didn't really like it. I almost quit. But then in eighth grade, I felt like I was like starting to get like kind of good at it, and I like started listening to music more, like on Spotify. And then I was like, I can just like make it at home. So yeah, I started being more committed to my instrument, and I joined choir once I got into high school.
Do you come from like a very musical family?
Almost everyone on my mom's side went to Concordia, and both of her aunt and uncle were musicians there, music majors. Actually, two of her aunts. My grandma on my dad's side was in choir, and all my siblings sing and play instruments too. So,
what other instruments do you play?
I play guitar and piano.
Which of those are your favorite?
I like guitar a lot because you can do so much like by yourself without needing other people to play with you. But I think bass, like since I've been playing it the longest, it's the most fun for me.
And what kind of activities do you do when you play the bass? Like, are you in any other bands?
Well, I do extracurricular, like jazz band or like rock and roll revival here in town. Otherwise, I'll just have gigs now and then for fun.
What are some places that you would perform?
I performed at the Bob Dylan tribute concert at the Armory in town, and I had a couple of gigs over this summer. And I just happened to have a show at Arts a la Carte tonight where I played with some classmates.
And when you go to these gigs, do you ever get paid at all?
No, not really. Kind of just do it for fun.
Do you still like perform piano ever?
I don't perform, but I have one at my house that I play for fun.
How do you believe your musical career has shaped you as a person?
I mean, it takes up a lot of what I kind of do in my free time. Because if I'm not doing like an activity such as choir or orchestra or something that takes up time outside of school, then I'm probably just like at home strumming it for fun. Yeah, and I think it makes me happy too.
So, what parts about music make you happy?
Well, I like to listen to it all the time, and it's fun to not only play it, but like explore new kinds, and there's so much out there.
What are some of your favorite genres at the moment?
Lo-fi and like alternative and, yeah, indie.
when you play or slash sing, do you ever like to reflect some of those genres that you listen to?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I kind of try to write songs sometimes. I've done it a few times, and it seems like it comes out through that. And I also like to recreate the songs that I really like.
Moving on to BCG, the cappella group you're a part of, what pitch range are you in?
I'm a baritone.
And what would you say, like, part of the songs that you most, like, typically sing?
Well, baritone is usually, like, the lower end, but so it's bass one. So it's not the lowest, but it's the second lowest out of four parts. A lot of times in the a cappella songs for tenor bass, it's like the melody and switches in and out of that. So,
is it hard to be a student and also being a musician in multiple areas?
No, not really. One nice thing about being a musician is that it can take up as much time as you want. So, I mean, like, you can keep time for homework and social time, and without it like taking up your life and exhausting you like some sports would.
Does it ever get frustrating when you're trying to learn something new and it's just not going right?
Yeah, for sure. The guitar is probably the hardest instrument I've ever like tried to learn. I'm still learning it, and it's been like 2 years, but I think the fact that I have so much fun with it makes it a lot easier to persevere and like keep trying to learn, because it's just fun for me to get better.
What would you say is the hardest part about learning the guitar?
Well, I think the hardest part is that I came from the bass and it's so much bigger. And like the strings are so much bigger. And so like transferring guitar, like it feels like you're playing like the tiniest thing ever. So yeah, I kind of had to get used to the transition between the two instruments. Also, it's six strings as opposed to four.
What would you say is the most fun part about playing the guitar?
Guitar is pretty fun because, like I said, you don't need other instruments to play songs. And it's just fun, like, by yourself. And there's so many different things you can do with it, like so many different genres you can have fun with.
What would you say you're the best at in terms of music?
I will say I think I have a pretty good ear. Musical ear. I wouldn't say I'm the best at like improvisation or quick thinking when it comes to playing charts and stuff, but I think if I take my time, I can come up with cool stuff and kind of be creative and have fun with it.
What other hobbies or interests do you have outside of music?
I like skiing with my friends. I'm in ski club. That's pretty fun. And I've played a couple spring sports, like ultimate frisbee and track, and had some fun with that. Met some people.
Why did you stop pursuing some of those spring sports?
Well, my plan was to do frisbee this year, but then they cut the program. So, and I just really didn't like track because I was so bad at it. But yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll get back into frisbee or something of that sort later. I like club sports like that because they're more casual.
What makes your musical interests stand out from other hobbies that may come in your life?
I feel like it's fulfilling in a sense that...
Elaborate.
I mean, not only I feel like I'm better at it than I am than other things, but it also just feels like satisfactory to be able to... Like, because it's artistic and you're able to create things and adjust them to how you want them to be. And I think that's what makes it so, like, fun, because it's not super strict about what you can and can't do.
Do you ever like to sing outside of your, like, your a cappella group?
Yeah, I was in elementary and middle school. I was in Northfield Youth Choirs in town. And then until high school, I did that until high school, and then I did high school choir, and I'm in three different ensembles for that: concert choir, BCG, and chamber. I guess I sing with my guitar sometimes, and that's pretty fun too.
Which of those three groups are your favorite to sing in?
I really like BCG because we can do more. We can do like pop tunes or different tunes of our choice. More contemporary stuff that you'd see in the choral world.
What's the social aspect look like in choir through the school?
Yeah, I mean, it creates a lot of opportunity for social time, like such as before and after concerts and before and after rehearsal, especially because there isn't the use of instruments, so it's more of just like a focused environment with just you and other people, and it's pretty fun.
The higher amounts of people in an ensemble make it a little bit more distracting or hard to perform?
Well, ironically, the higher the ensembles I've been in with more people have been more focused and more professional because of the level that we're expected to sing at, like all-state choir, where we are just put in a room with people across the state that we've never met, and then we just sing songs together. And so, I mean, if it were all people that I was familiar with and they were all my friends, I think it would definitely be an action. But yeah.
Tell me more about what all-state's like. Is it like a competition?
Yeah, so I don't know exactly the number, but there's a certain cap of how many people per school can be selected, and it's across the state, and you audition and you send it in. There's these smart people who decide if you're... Yeah, there's like a couple hundred kids there, and then we have a concert in the summer, and then again in the orchestra hall in February. And that was pretty fun. You do it junior and senior year, if you are able.
And what are the qualifications for getting into Allstate?
It's just the audition process. I think the only qualification other than that is that you have to be in choir at your school.
And do you know what like the judges are looking for when they listen to your audition?
They like good tone and good vocal control and breath control and intonation, definitely. Yeah, I mean, what you would expect in a good singer, I suppose.
Along with Allstate, are there any other competitions that you compete in throughout the year?
No, Allstate was actually my first one. There's like honors choir and honors orchestra that you can take part of all throughout middle school and early high school, but the 10-11 honor or all-state choir was the first time I really competed for a spot in an ensemble.
Do you believe that your community / school has has an impact on your singing and music?
I think Northfield has a really good music program because of St. Olaf being so close and having their liberal arts music program that's pretty well done. Yeah, I think it rubs off on the high school a little bit. And
how so?
Well, I think the prevalence of music success, not only from the colleges, but just the Minnesota area, has attracted good amounts of qualified musicians who are willing to teach and bring resources with them that make it easy to be successful.
If you were to go back in time and tell your younger self any advice, what would it be?
I think it would be to just have fun with whatever you're doing and not worry so much about being good or bad. Just whether or not you're having fun is all that matters.
Is it important to have leaders within your ensembles?
Yeah, I think it is. But I also like the idea of everyone working together and making it more of a community rather than like a group that listens to instructions and follows like orders.
And why do you believe that's important?
I think it honestly just creates a more successful group. Because naturally, I think if people are more bonded, then they'll have more fun with it and they'll try harder. And I think it'll make a more successful outcome.
Is there a big importance on teamwork within choir?
I think there definitely is. I think it comes with a lot of opportunity to maybe sit back and not choose not to engage with the people around you. But I think in doing that, it is counterintuitive to the whole process of singing in a group with other people.
In an ensemble, is there any problems with like egos or any like beefs at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people who are more or less like better than others. I don't think it creates conflict. I think it creates more of those people can become leaders for others and are able to help them become better and improve the group as a whole.
Do you see yourself as one of those leaders?
I think I do, but I also think I have lots of room to grow as one, and I think I can learn from other people just as much as they can from me.
How would you describe a typical rehearsal during the school day?
We always start out with warming up, and on Mondays we have Monday shoutouts. Fridays we have Friday feel-goods, and it's one of the ways we like have social time when the rest of the week is get straight to rehearsal. So we warm up and we get singing, and we sometimes break off into sections and work together, or we sing in the whole group with our conductor leading us.
When you break off into sections, what does that look like?
Well, each section has a section leader, and those people will...
Are you a section leader?
Yeah. And those people will play the parts for their section on the piano, and we'll learn it together, and then we'll come back together as a whole group and see how it sounds.
Do you typically enjoy your rehearsals during school?
Yeah, I do, because I think I have a lot of friends who also enjoy it just as much as I do, and we find ways to have fun with it, even though it can be monotonous sometimes. And not to mention, it's music and it's fun to make. So,
thank you for coming in today, Eric, and thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed a part of this interview or you just want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. You're with Grant Selko on this week's Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Hey, hey! Well, I really do care. Trust me. Well, whatever. Maybe not. Hey, thanks for joining us. 19 minutes after 11, we're at 52. We got plenty of sunshine out there. A little overcast sky. It's going to be warm today and tomorrow. It's going to be kind of nice. And get out and enjoy this beautiful, beautiful. When I say beautiful, I mean beautiful weather out there. Hey, thanks for our guest this morning, John Mahal, Activities Director, Mel Miller, Head Coach of the Northfield Raiders Golf Team, along with Eric Radke on the choir program, and especially to Grant Selko for his interview with Meet the Raider. And tune in next week. We'll have more Meet the Raider along with more activities and interviews with coaches and players and people and things. And congratulations to Arts a la Carte last night. Apparently, just an outstanding program that was held at the Northfield Arena last night. You can find all that information out if you go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, select the Raider Wrap. You can hear John talk about it a little bit. We'll probably have a recap on that too as well to just kind of figure out what's going on. Special news, hot off the press today. Six Minnesota hockey players will head to Plymouth, Michigan to join the United States Hockey National Team Development Program as part of the under-17 national team. What does that mean? That means that our outstanding defenseman, number 2, Ben Geiger, has been selected to the team. That is correct. The under-17 team competes in the United States Hockey League. It's the only Tier 1 junior hockey league in the United States and international tournaments. Ben Geiger, congratulations, being selected to the U.S. under-17 team. So what does that mean? Well, that usually means that they get selected
under the players, and they're one of the few, like I said, that are in the country. That will affect the Northfield hockey program because Ben is going to be a part of that. So for the next couple of years, he's going to be playing for Team USA. So hopefully we'll be able to talk either to Ben or Matt, his dad, or maybe we'll get the coach, Mike Luckcraft, on the program hopefully next week to talk a little bit about that. That is big news for the Northfield area to have Ben Geiger join the United States hockey under 17 team. So congratulations on Ben, an outstanding season. As you remember, the Northfield Raiders boys hockey team did take home the consolation prize this year at the state tournament, and they look to improve upon that again next year. So again, thanks everyone for joining me this morning. We really appreciate it. Oh, get outside, just take a deep breath, and just hang out for 10 seconds. Just chill for 10 seconds and just be grateful for what you got going on this second, this moment in your life, and then pass that along to somebody else. Okay? Thanks for joining us. You're listening to The Raider Wrap. I'm Jimmy LaRue, bidding you adieu for yet another Saturday morning. Take care, everyone. We will talk to you.